sorry, the other thing that I became interested in photographing was how beautiful people look when they're almost hypnotized, and the light is quite special that comes from a phone. And so I just thought I had to get this out of my system. I had to just photograph this this aspect of life.
That was Dafydd Jones. Dafydd is a photographer who's worked for the likes of Vanity Fair and the New York Observer, while his collections have been in galleries such as the National Portrait Gallery and the Bodleian Gallery in Oxford. Dafydd's new collection, called Screen Time, is a visual exploration of our relationship with screens at high-profile events. In this fascinating episode, Dafydd shares with us his observations on the overuse of screen time and other trends that he sees as a photographer emerging from the widespread use of technology. But before we go ahead with that, welcome to the show. Digital Mindfulness is a podcast where we focus on innovations in digital well-being and responsible innovation. I hope you enjoy this episode with Dafydd Jones. So Dafydd, thank you so much for joining me here on Digital Mindfulness. I'm really thrilled that we were able to make this happen, and I'm really looking forward also to learning more about you and your work and your fantastic book that you've just published. So welcome to the show.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, no, it's a pleasure.
So Dafydd, I wonder if you would tell us a little bit about your journey to becoming a photographer, and in addition, how you fused that to really focus on this whole issue of screen time and its effects on people.
Yeah, well, it's a long story. I went to art school and studied painting, and at art college, I became interested in photography. I was using photographs as a basis for my paintings, and I gradually started thinking of the photographs as standing up in their own right. And when I finished at college, this is a long time ago, almost 40 years ago, I thought I could maybe earn my living as a photographer. And but I'm a bit of a, I'd never strictly studied photography, so I have a slightly offbeat approach to taking photographs. I mean, I'm not, I was kind of interested in doing my own thing still, but using photography and somehow earning my living out of it. And I gradually became a magazine photographer, and I liked the editorial independence. And at the time when I started, a lot of photographers had staff jobs, and they didn't like photographing parties, but the magazines were starting to be interested in the social world. And this was before magazines began running party columns. And I, very gradually, I started working for the Tatler magazine, and they, their party section gradually became more successful. So they were selling ads next to the party pictures, so then running more pages, and other magazines began copying. And I was just sort of, I suppose the thing about my pictures that was different was at the time, and the reason why I got hired by the editor then, Tina Brown, was original party pictures, I suppose, were quite dull, and they just showed people standing in front of the cameras in rows. And I began trying to photograph what was actually happening at parties and what was going on. And some of the parties were quite wild. And so the pictures reflected that. And as I got more into this coverage, I was finding I had a wonderful theme, a wonderful subject really to cover in England, because no one had really covered the upper classes in a kind of reportage way. And so I just carried on and working harder and harder. This is going back to the 80s. And my pictures were getting more and more attention, and being reproduced in other publications. And by the end of the 80s, I moved to New York and began doing a similar thing in America, really, for Vanity Fair. I was covering the social world in New York, and but I was also kind of, as a photographer, I was feeling, why wasn't I photographing something more serious? Although people wanted me to, you know, there was a demand, so I carried on doing it. But I stopped. Every now and then I would sort of try and give up, and I stopped photographing parties for a while, began working for a newspaper in New York, which was edited by an up-and-coming editor at the time, Graydon Carter, who I remember saying to my wife, you know, it's going to be really great, this paper's wonderful, and I'm finally getting away from parties. But before I knew what had happened, Graydon had gone, you know, he'd gone to edit Vanity Fair. So I was going around slightly in circles. But I was using photography to, I was using the work to kind of, I think I was doing my own work as well. I was trying to show aspects of people that were interesting. And I was, so I'm giving a very long answer to this question. But I was just trying to show things that hadn't been really shown before.
So there was a circular motion to your career. You left Vanity Fair wanting to leave the party scene, but then you inadvertently got drawn back into it.
Yes, I ended up back, although I had my period working for a newspaper, which I really enjoyed, photographing kind of news type of news stories in New York. But I was, I found actually that things I'd learnt working covering upper class parties in England worked very well in New York. Just one thing, I gradually became sort of, I was very polite. And actually, that if you're polite to people and treat them well, and you can take photographs, you can get all, you get into all sorts of situations and out of them again. When I was working as a news photographer, you know, politeness gets you a long way, looking people in the eye and being decent.
So this topic about parties is fascinating. I could talk to you about this forever. But let's talk now about this new topic that you're focused on, and that's screen time, particularly in this setting of parties. Can you talk to us about this topic and what in particular drew you to that?
I'd been noticing since the first time was a party in 2008. I was at a party in Miami, but I'd been flown to Miami by Italian Vogue to photograph a party that the editor was giving, and it was the hottest ticket of the week in the Art Basel Art Fair, and there was a kind of VVIP area which I was in, and some three beautiful women came in with one guy, and they sat down together, and the man was ignoring them. He was just on his phone texting for, you know, half an hour. So I took a picture of this, and it wasn't used by the magazine, so it wasn't the kind of thing they wanted. It was interesting, and you know, as the years. And that was the first time I noticed this kind of phenomenon, really, of, is it called flubbing now? Is that
yes.
the, and it was way back in 2008, before, you know, people were obsessed with Facebook or any of those things. And gradually I noticed more this happening more times over the years. And I just began putting them aside. Originally, I put them on my website, under a subject heading smartphone addiction, just examples of it. But we thought actually there's an element of criticism in smartphone addiction, and which is why the publisher and I decided on the title Screen Time, because it's just people. I mean, the book shows people looking at their phones all over the place, you know, but it's. When they should be, I mean, at a party, when someone's gone to a lot of trouble to give a party, and a lot of these parties are very special parties. I mean, all parties are special. I mean, people, they're big occasions in people's lives. And it's a bit of a shame, really, when people are looking at their phones. But also, I've noticed more and more, it's almost like it's what people really want to do at the end of a party. People are looking at their phones again, you know, and whereas they used to be kind of, you know, perhaps going off with each other or, you know, at the end of a party, it's almost as if people really are addicted and they just have to go and check their likes and things like that. The other thing that I became interested in photographing was how beautiful people look when they're almost hypnotized, and the light is quite special that comes from a phone. And so I just thought I had to get this out of my system. I had to just photograph this this aspect of life.
And I was actually going to ask that question next, because I'm really interested to know how you felt and also how you responded to that situation circa 2008 when you first became aware of people spending a lot more time with their phones rather than the people they were with at these expensive, lavish parties that you mentioned yourself. People work really hard to stage, and also there are some fantastic people there. So I'm wondering, how did you respond to that? Was it with a sense of incredulousness, or was this project forming in your mind already to work on this?
It was a bit of both, but I just thought, this is ridiculous, you know. This guy is here at this amazing party, you know, and he's spending all this time looking at his phone, you know. And you know, I was sort of flabbergasted, actually, is the you know, when I first saw it. And but now you can, you know, everywhere you go, people are walking around looking at their phones, and it's a slightly weird, and I find that also quite inspiring as a photographer, because it's almost, you know, if I was to have been, I don't know, if I was transported from the 60s or the 80s or even the 90s to now, I'd think, what's going on? You know, all these people are almost being led by, they're walking around, you know, being led by their phones. Everyone's staring at their phones, you know. A lot of people might be reading the paper or reading the news, but, or they're texting their friends, but they're less aware of what's of the world around them. Obviously everyone, we all see this now everywhere. And it's it's an aspect of the world changing. I don't really know what's going to happen next. I do a picture every month for the Oldie magazine, mm-hmm. which is called The Way We Live Now. So I'm always looking. It can be a picture of anything. It's just a picture of people and showing aspects of modern life. And the phone is a big part of that really now.
One of the things, David, that's really interested me, particularly in your description of this, is your position as the objective observer of this. You haven't really offered a moral position on this one way or another, just that you're actually noticing more people spending more time with their phone and engaging with more screen time. But one of the things that you did speak about was the effect of the light on people, the light from the phones on people's faces, and you really described it quite beautifully. And I'm wondering if you can speak to that a bit more, because that's not something that I've heard described in such a way.
Oh yeah, well, people do look beautiful when they're lit up like that with this sort of soft light, and it's a bit. I mean, someone else said some time ago that it was the same effect as jewelry. The reason why women used to wear, I mean, women wear diamond necklaces and things, is there's a reflection from the necklace back up to the face, and the phone is a bit like that. That had never occurred to me, but it's very. The painter Edward Hopper would have loved the scenes with people with their phones, you know, because you can just see it as a Hopper painting, actually.
Mm-hmm.
I find it inspiring to photograph people on their phones. Because it can be very beautiful. And as the light goes down, people seem to look at parties. They seem to look at their phones more often.
It's also interesting reading some of the articles on screen time now it's been published, particularly some of the descriptions that the journalists have given, that people have a Gollum-like quality as we're hunched over watching our screens.
I don't really agree with that. I personally am trying to cut down my screen time. I'm spending too much time on my devices. I try to limit my computer time to when I'm traveling on the train, which is a couple of hours actually a day. Usually, and I quite like just doing all my computer work on the train. And actually, the ticket conductor the other day I was talking to the ticket conductor after I'd finished my work, and he was saying how he's been doing that job all his life, and now no one talks, and he misses the time when people weren't all on their devices, and made me feel quite guilty actually. But I mean, commuter trains have never been well known for people talking to each other. But even the ticket collector's not getting any sort of chit chat, which is a bit of a shame. You know, it makes his job more boring.
Of course, we were speaking in a pre-interview, and of course, that you ask permission from people when you take their picture for publication rights, etc. And I'm interested to know, when you do take pictures of these famous people with their phones and you tell them about the project that you're working on, what has their responses been? Were they interested as well?
Well, I haven't always done that. Sometimes I just take a picture, you know, but I've always had permission to do, to be where I've been. But some of the pictures were taken in the street, just of scenes. But they usually laugh when I tell them I'm working. And they say something like, that's a good idea, you know. I think the book publisher is hoping that the book, that grandparents will buy the book for their children, and children will buy the book for their grandparents as a present, but as a reminder that of what happens if you just spend too much time, you know, that people are missing out on what's going on around them, and they're missing out on life. I mean, because the screen time people spend is quite frightening if you think, if you add it up in sort of years over someone's life.
And when does the book come out, David?
Well, it's out already. It officially launches next Tuesday at the Photographer's Gallery, but you can get it on Amazon. They keep restocking because it keeps selling out.
Oh, tremendous. Well done.
But it's on Amazon and a good bookshops all over the world, I hope.
So given that you started this project around 2008, and now that you're continuing to go to these parties and photographing people, I'm interested to know what other trends you're starting to see as a result of not the overuse of technology, but the ubiquity of technology, and whether this might feature into another project, the evolution of screen time, as it were.
Yes, I am. I mean, it's, I'm noticing, the other thing I'm noticing are what I call single sex groups. Boys and women and guys, I'm seeing more of just groups of the same sexes sitting together and not really talking as much as they used to. And I photographed the pictures aren't in the book, but I've been to a few sort of very parties where the partygoers are very young and they're not really talking to each other as much as they would have done in 10 or 20 years ago. And I'm having an exhibition comparing that in London coming up in a couple of weeks' time, just where I'm going to show some of my older pictures next to the new ones. But I'm sort of noticing people. I suppose it's a if this goes on, it's going to be it's bad for people really, because they're not using the all sorts of things that you use when you talk to people face to face, and they're not using it as much.
Fantastic. So Dafydd, the book is out now. Where is the best place for people to learn more about your work and connect with you?
I have a website, which is www.daffjones.com, rather than Davis, which is hard to spell. So it's daffjones.com. And my Instagram account is at Davis Jones Photographer.
Perfect.
So they can see me at both those places.
And is your exhibition, is it ever going to get to North America at some point?
Not this one, but other pictures. I actually, some of the pictures I'll be showing in the exhibition are in the Yale Museum of British Art. But I'm hopefully going to be showing some of the pictures. Because the early pictures are probably more fun to look at. The what went on in parties in the 1980s. And they're the ones that I'm most well known for.
That's fantastic. And all of these are on your site as well?
Yeah, they're all in various places on my site, which is, has a lot of work and basically scattered around.
Well, Dafydd, thank you so much for spending time with us today and speaking about your work, and I wish you all the very best with Screen Time.
Okay, thank you very much. It's been a pleasure.